Morning, everyone. Lovely to be here this morning. So this morning, this is last in the series that we've been talking about. We've had some wonderful messages, haven't we, on about unity, unity in the church. And they've been really compelling and challenging messages. Some of them, they make you wriggle in your seat a little bit. And that's always a good thing. It's always a good thing, and maybe that'll be the case this morning. I hope and pray that these messages have been messages that have stirred you and challenged you to walk a closer walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring more glory to our Father God, and to be more reliant, really, on His wonderful Holy Spirit. And I hope and pray that you've become more determined, as I have, to seek the Lord for what He would have you do in your lives, to please Him and to glorify His name. And so this Lord's Day, we're going to look at the bigger picture of how we are to understand the times that we are living in. And this is a massive topic, and it could go in many different directions, but this morning I want to share some verses with you from Matthew 24. And this is Matthew 24 and 25, of known as the Olivet Discourse. And I want to share just the first 14 verses with you. This is what Jesus taught His disciples. It's entirely prophetic, but it's what He taught His disciples about what was going to happen in their day and stretching right through to the last days of human history and into the tribulation and then into His return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when He will come back and rule and reign from Jerusalem. Amen. Isn't that going to be a beautiful thing? And some would say that the Olivet Discourse is for the Jews only, and to some extent I do agree with that, because God has definitely not finished with His people, the Jewish people. He's not finished with Israel. In fact, one day He will turn His attention fully back on the Jews. And there will be, unfortunately, disastrous times of judgment for the Jewish people. But then there will be a beautiful and bright future for them. That's another story that could take up a lot of time. But verses 4 to 14 of Matthew 24, I believe, speak to the world we live in now, as well as in later times. And they show us what is happening worldwide. And they show us, as believers, Jesus taught very clearly about this, and that we shouldn't be surprised or dismayed by the things that are happening in this world, but we should be aware of them and understanding of the times. As I look up there at that list that Tony's put up on the screen, I think, my goodness, that looks a bit grim, doesn't it? Looks a bit doomy and gloomy, but I don't apologize for it, because it's the Word of God, and it's what He was teaching His disciples back in His day, and it's relevant for our day. Those that say that the world will get better and better and move into a golden era before Jesus comes back, they are sadly mistaken. The world system will cause things to get worse and worse until the return of our Lord. Why is that? Because Scripture clearly teaches that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. If he is allowed to have control, why would we expect the world to get better and better? Why would we? And secondly, the sovereign Lord is going to bring judgment upon this world because of the wickedness of people. It's just the way it is. And that is called, in its ultimate fulfillment, the Great Tribulation. And so things will deteriorate up to that point, and then it gets really bad. So let's have a look at the scriptures. So if you've got your Bibles, I hope you have, open them up to Matthew 24. I'm just going to read the first 14 verses. So reading from verse 1, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away, when His disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to Him. And He said to them, Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness has increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. I just want to quickly move through the key points that Jesus made. And I'm going to start in a place that you might not expect, but I'm going to start in verse 6 where he talks about wars and rumors of wars. And in our secure little country, we often forget the fact that we live in a world that is full of turmoil. And in the world right now, according to which sources you look at, there are approximately 40 different wars happening around the world, approximately. For example, there's an ongoing brutal war in Nigeria, where Boko Haram, which is an extremist militant group, are butchering people, many people, predominantly Christians, because of their hatred of Christians, because they want to set up an Islamic caliphate in Nigeria and beyond in wider areas. Since 2009, there have been approximately 170,000 deaths in this nation because of this brutality. More than 1.8 million people displaced, 130,000 refugees. Dreadful what's happening in that country. And I frequently read of Christian groups that are butchered, and women and girls who are taken captive and made into slaves and so forth and so on. It's savagery, it's awful. Another war that's ongoing in this world is Yemen. You may have heard something about it on the news, but you don't hear much about it. Where there has been a war there since 2004. What's that, 18 years now? More than 10,000 deaths, 3 million people displaced, their health system decimated. 17 million people face food insecurity in that country. 7 million are on the verge of famine. And we kind of, you know, we just can't relate to that in this country, can we not? What about Myanmar? You would have heard things about Myanmar. For many, many years, in fact, since independence in 1948, Myanmar has been a country of turmoil. Probably hundreds of thousands of people have died in Myanmar. 1 million stateless Rohingya people prey to trafficking, 500,000 refugees, so on and so forth. And of course, we all know about what's happening in Ukraine, the terrible war over there with the Russian aggression against Ukraine. Many thousands dead already. What about Israel and Palestine? This war has been going on and off since 1948 when the Jews resettled in their homeland. More than 120,000 deaths in this region. I need to say that in the world, we need to keep our eyes focused on Jerusalem, because that will be where the culmination of world history will be. What about the rumours of wars? For example, the threats of China invading Taiwan. And if that happens, America gets involved and other nations, and it's going to be real bad. the Chinese threat of a naval base being set up in the Solomons, which Australia and America are vowing will never happen, so on and so forth. The threat of imminent conflict between Israel and Iran, and let me tell you, that is becoming a huge threat with Iran already possessing enough fissionable material to make a nuclear missile. And guess where they're going to be firing that missile at? Israel. So Israel are never going to let that happen. So rumours of wars going on all around this world. It's always been this way, and it will always be that way until the Lord comes back. Another thing that Jesus talked about is famine. Again, in this little country, aren't we blessed in this nation? How sheltered we are in this country. There are many poor people in this country, and many children don't have enough to eat, but famine is a whole different thing altogether. There is more than enough food produced in this world to feed everyone easily. But of course, because of inequity, because of greed, and because of all kinds of human sin, that food is not distributed as it should be. And so now in this world that we live in, there are 810 million people worldwide that go to bed hungry each night. 810 million people. The reasons for these things, conflict and wars, drought, floods, poverty, so on and so on. The next thing that Jesus mentioned was earthquakes. Do you know that there are 20,000 earthquakes in the world each year, or 55 of them every day, somewhere around the world? There's an average of 16 major earthquakes in any given year over the magnitude of 7 or 7 and above. In the past 40 to 50 years, we have exceeded the long-term average number of major earthquakes about a dozen times. So despite what you may hear, they are increasing in numerically. And so we do live in a world that is full of these disasters, earthquakes, and wars. And this is all partial fulfillment of what Jesus Christ talked about. It's not the full fulfillment, because that will truly happen in the last 3.5 years before the Great Tribulation. And that will be a time unlike anything that human history has ever known. And then Jesus mentions believers in verse 9 going through tribulation, not the tribulation, but tribulation, and death and hatred by all nations because of his name. We don't know much about persecution yet in this country, and I say yet, but many around the world do, and we're so sheltered from it, aren't we? We live in our comfortable homes and we come to our nice churches, but we have no idea that there are millions of people around the world today who are going through persecution, dreadful persecution. And I've seen some of it myself firsthand. When I was in Indonesia on a short-term missions trip, we did quite a lot of pastoral visitation. And we were based in a little small city called Wonosobo in central Java, which is predominantly Muslim. And I'll never forget going to this lady's house, a dear Christian lady with a couple of children. And her husband was a Buddhist, so he didn't really care whether she was Christian or not. He was okay with that. But she was surrounded by Muslims all around her. All her neighbours, all the villagers were all Muslims. And she sat with a very sad face on a chair and said to us through an interpreter, "You know, I feel every single day like a lamb surrounded by wolves." We have no idea. We have no idea what that's like. These are signs of the times, dear friends. These are signs of the times. Look around and see. Look beyond this country. See what's happening. Just because we are relatively sheltered in this country, don't think that there aren't great persecutions happening around this world. I want to read to you this story, quite a moving story, about an incident that happened in Sri Lanka in 2019, and I hope I can get through it and keep myself together, because it's quite moving, But forgive me if there's a few tears. But it goes like this. How many of you are willing to die for Christ? Said the Sunday school teacher to the children of Zion Evangelical Church, Batacola, on Easter morning 2019. Imagine that, asking in your Sunday school, how many of you children are willing to die for Christ? Every child raised their hand. Minutes later, the class was over. The children spilled out to play in the church grounds while the adult congregation gathered inside for the main Easter worship service. It was then that a suspicious-looking stranger was ushered out of the building by Ramesh, a church member. The stranger was a suicide bomber. The stranger was a suicide bomber and detonated himself, killing at least 15 adults, including Ramesh, and 14, I knew this was going to happen, sorry, and 14 of the children who had just pledged their willingness to die for Christ. The death toll at Zion Church would have been far higher but for the courage of Ramesh, who gently persuaded the bomber to leave the crowded building. The explosion therefore occurred outside. The wave of explosions in Sri Lanka on 21st of April 2019 evidently targeted Christians on the holiest day of the Christian year. Three were in churches and three in hotels where Christians were likely to meet for Easter breakfast after an all-night vigil. Islamic State claimed responsibility in a statement that made clear their main intention was to target Christians, with a secondary interest in nationals of the coalition. The final death toll eventually reached 253. Mostly Sri Lankan Christians, but also including some foreigners who were in the hotels. Perhaps the last to die was a Sri Lankan Christian called Arun, who, ignoring his own wounds, had cared for others amid the carnage until he collapsed. He died of his injuries on 4th of June 2019. But listen to this from the pastor of Zion Evangelical Church. He posted this message in a video on Facebook on 26th of April. We say to the suicide bombers, and also to the group that sent the suicide bomber, that we love you. And we forgive you. No matter what you have done to us, we love you. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of persecution happening in this world, friends. That's one example of many, many around the world that are happening almost on a daily basis. Jesus said that another sign of the times will be those that fall away and betray one another and hate one another. What a shocking thing to think that there will be people in the church that will fall away and that will betray one another and will hate one another. But in fact, many of us know that there are and always have been people like that in the church. In 1 John 3:15, John says that everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. I would suggest to you that no one who falls away, betrays and hates is a true follower of Jesus Christ. And yet they are in the church of Jesus Christ like tares amongst the wheat. Jesus talked about that. Not only will some fall away and betray and hate one another, but in verse 12, Jesus says that because lawlessness is increased, The love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. Sounds like the church of Laodicea, doesn't it? Neither hot nor cold, impacted and affected by a lawless, godless world. You know, I always remember someone saying to me regarding people whose love it has grown cold. Someone said to me many years ago, if you feel that you've grown distant from the Lord, guess who moved? But listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in these shocking verses to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 of what it's going to look like in the end times, in case you're still convinced that it's going to be great and rosy and wonderful and beautiful and everybody's going to get better and better. Let's see what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. And over in verse 13 it says, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. These are the signs of the times. Do you see it? Can you see it around you? Wake up if you can't. Understand the times that we live in. The Bible speaks clearly about those times. Well, if you've been paying attention and you haven't fallen asleep yet, you'll notice that I left out one of the key signs of the times that Jesus expressly talked about. I left it out because I want to zero in on it just a little bit now. And it's mentioned three times in verses 4 and 5 and 11. In the NRSV, it's the word is mislead. In the King James and the NIV and other versions, the word is deceive. Deception is one of the key indicators of the last days that we are living in. And again, why would we be surprised by this? The Bible warns us about it repeatedly, especially in terms of being deceived by others. For example, Romans 16, 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Or Ephesians 5, verse 6, which says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Or 1 John 3, 7, which says, little children, make sure no one deceives you. Jesus says to us, see to it that no one misleads you. Watch out for false Christs. Watch out for false prophets. He says again over in verse 23, which we haven't read, but he says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. And there have been many false prophets, many false Christs throughout history, haven't there? Some of the recent ones that came to my mind when I was thinking about this the other day. Remember Jim Jones from Jonestown in Guyana? Some of your older ones would remember that terrible business where over 900 people committed suicide because of his so-called ministry. He was a devilish prophet. Remember David Koresh, a wacko from Waco in Texas, and the disaster that happened there when they were taken out by the FBI. and all the fire that they that was set and burnt a lot of them alive. There's lots of false messiahs, there's lots of false prophets, and there always will be until the coming of the Lord. The God of this world, the Satan, he deceived Eve in the garden, and he's been doing it ever since. And the only thing that we can know for sure about Satan is that whatever he says, it will be a lie. A subtle lie, a blatant lie, but a lie nevertheless. Jesus said that the devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. In fact, Revelation 12, verse 9 says that Satan is the one who deceives the whole world. That is why, my dear friends, that is why we must continue to preach the gospel even within the church. That is why we need to preach the word of God, which is truth. And that's why we hold so closely to that in this assembly. That is why we need to teach and preach about love and forgiveness and faithfulness and endurance and the grace of God. We need to preach and teach about working out our salvation in fear and trembling and being unified as believers, which is what we've been talking about over the last weeks, about keeping one another accountable. We need to keep on enduring and persevering in our faith, my dear friends. And so these are the signs of the times: deception and increase in lawlessness, the love of many growing cold, falling away, betraying one another, hating one another, earthquakes, famine, nations and kingdoms rising up against one another, wars and rumors of wars. I'm sorry to be such a doomy, gloomy person today, but isn't it the truth? It's just the truth of the word, isn't it? You can say that this stuff's always been around. What are you going on about? That doesn't mean the Lord's any closer. This, you know, has been going on since human history began, and that is true. But these things are ramping up more and more and more, and lawlessness is increasing in the world we live in. There is no question about that. There are other things, though, that are also signs of the times that I'd love to talk about at length, but there's no time at all for that. But I'll just briefly mention a few of them. For instance, the fact that now, for the first time in our human history, we have worldwide communication and instant data processing right around the world, which means for the first time in history, the world can be controlled economically, politically, and militarily for the first time ever in human history. Have a look at Revelation 13 in your own time to see how significant that is. Also, for the first time in human history, there is weaponry available. See, we don't think of this. We're so used to it. For the first time in human history, there is weaponry available that can wipe out the whole human race, in fact, all of life on Earth. And so the significance of that is it makes sense of prophecies where Jesus has to intervene to save everyone from being wiped out on the planet. The Reformation of Israel, for the first time in 2,000 years, don't let anybody tell you that's not prophetically incredibly significant, because it is. Not only that, but the political and military maneuvering of nations involved in the war of Ezekiel 38. If you're not familiar with that, have a look at Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's called the Ezekiel War. Russia, Turkey, Iran, and other nations are maneuvering, and things are coming together like never before in history. That war is shaping up. Friends, we are to be ready and prepared in case the Lord comes sooner than anticipated, and to be prepared in case he delays longer than expected. Let me repeat that. We are to be ready and prepared in case he comes sooner than anticipated, and to be prepared in case he delays longer than expected. How then are we to be prepared? Well, there's many places that I could go in Scripture. And, you know, the Lord's been taught me again a lesson that I should have learned a long time ago about trusting his answers to prayer. Because I was praying about this and it's just nothing was coming together in my mind or in my heart about where I should go after this. And I was fussing and fretting about it and praying, and Lord, why can't you give me what I should need to know? Sunday's approaching really quick, Lord. And then a couple of days later, I had my morning reading, and this came to me like a hammer blow. And I want to share it with you, and I want to quickly go through this. Yeah, we're okay for time, aren't we? We're all right, aren't we, Fritz? Good. Good, good. Okay. Because I want to read quite a number of verses. So what I want you to do, I want you all to do something you're really uncomfortable about, but just bear with me. I want you all to just close your eyes. If you've got a device, put it down. And I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to listen. I want you to listen to this word, because this is a word from Jesus, and it's from Luke chapter 12. And this was my direct answer to prayer, and I knew it as soon as I read it. I knew the Lord was saying, this is it. This is what I want you to say on Sunday. Oh, dear, I'm all emotional today. Sorry. Somebody pray that I stop these tears. Right. So, Luke chapter 12, I want to read the first 40 verses. Yes, I know it's a long passage, but hang in there with me. And I want to make brief comment after it, and then I'll close. Just brief comment. So please, close your eyes. Don't let any distractions come into your mind about what you're going to have for lunch or what you're going to do this afternoon or who's texting you. Just close your eyes and listen, okay? Luke chapter 12. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense, or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now you will own what you have prepared. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? You men of little faith, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table, and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. According to what I just read, what kind of people should we be in these days as we understand the times? Firstly, the only thing that we should fear is God and Him alone. That's it. Not man, not circumstances, not diseases, not economic forecasts, not threats of war, but Him alone, who is in charge of your soul and who knows better than you yourself, and He cares for you. Fear Him, I say. Fear Him and Him alone. Secondly, confess Jesus Christ in your life by your words, by your actions, by the way you lead your life. Confess Him as Lord. Your business, your hobbies won't matter in eternity. Just whether you, your family, your friends, your workmates have given their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord. That's all that will matter. Make sure that you are thoroughly born again. Stop chasing money and riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with careers. And there's nothing wrong with being in business, but those things must be kingdom focused, not money focused. And whatever I turn my hand to, how can I be obedient to the Master when He comes? How can I be obedient to the Master in my business, in my career, with my money, with whatever I do? Thirdly, trust God with your life. In verses 22 to 34, trust Him to provide for you. Quit worrying. and trust him for everything, no matter what the world is doing, no matter what the world is saying. Trust God. That's what he's been teaching me for a long time now. In these times that we live, be found doing the Master's work when he comes. No one knows the day or the hour, and if anybody tells you they do, they're wrong. No one knows the day or the hour. But according to the times that we live in, I do believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. So make sure that you are one of the slaves who is on the alert when the Master comes. As I close, let me finish with Romans 15, verses 5 and 6 as a prayer for the church to close this series. And you can look this one up, actually, Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. It's a wonderful couple of verses, and I want to read it to you. Romans 15, verses 5 and 6. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are in control of the times, that we don't need to fear, we don't need to fuss about worrying and fretting about what's going to happen in the world, what's going to happen in this country, what's going to happen with the government or the economy or anything. Not that we don't play any part in it, Lord, but we just don't need to fear and worry and fuss and fret about it. Thank you, Father, that all things are under your control. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love each person in this room and know them better than they know themselves. Thank you, Lord, that you are concerned for our welfare. Thank you for answered prayer. Thank you, Father, that you are a God that heals today. You are in this place by your Holy Spirit. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. And please, Lord, let us all be determined to give you all the glory in our lives from this day forward. And Lord, if there's stuff of the world that is getting in the way of our relationship with you, if our love has grown cold, if our walk with you is turned into a stall, please, Lord, help us. Please, Lord, bring us to the place where we can repent, where we can ask forgiveness, where we can once again walk in your ways and according to your word. Father, we worship you, we adore you, we love you this morning, and we praise you and thank you for all you're doing in this place and all you're doing in the lives of each precious person in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.